I thought about having us pray with our eyes open because it's really beautiful outside. You may not be able to see it for the screens. But I was reminded this morning during worship that when God created the earth and put the Maas River right here, he knew that we'd be here today. And 100 years from now, let's face it, maybe the little babies in the nursery will be around. The babies are going to dedicate, and they might still be around. But let's face it, the chances are 100 years from now, very few of us will be around. Yeah. But Lord willing, Damascus Road will still be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there'll be people that, probably there'll be holographic images then, or something stranger than that. And there'll be people that say, I was so glad to be a part of it. Because really, friends, it's so much, how are you a part of it? How can you be a part? And maybe you're just here visiting today and you say, I really don't know what I just stepped into other than this is kind of different. It is a little different today because you're a part of seeing what God's plan is in establishing an international church in Maastricht. It was his idea from the beginning.
Yeah.
He put it in the heart of Kent and Leslie. He put it in the heart of Matt. He put it in the heart of a few people. And as he's developing it, it becomes part of all of us and we all get to be a part of it in one way or the other. I've said that... Today, in our culture, there's never been a time that more has been written about leadership, spoken about leadership, texts about leadership, videos made on leadership, conferences on leadership, books written on leadership. I mean, there's leadership everywhere, and so little of it. So little leadership. A lot of politicians, very few leaders. And so this morning, as I looked at this passage, when the request came to, would you come and speak? I mean, almost before I got off the phone, I mean, immediately, this verse popped into my head. It's a passage of Scripture that Marquita and I really have in who we are. If you want to get to know us better, this passage of Scripture is this season of our ministry. This is how we see it. Now, the person that said this, her name's Abigail. And she was married to a guy, and the Bible says about her that she was very beautiful and very intelligent. But she married a guy who was kind of a loser. I mean, people say that about Marquita. She's very beautiful, but she married a guy that's kind of a... You know, you guys, you know, some of you are way too serious. That was a joke. For you guys from, you know, who aren't from Lindbergh, that was a joke. Anyway, that Abigail marries this guy, and to make a long story short, David, who was the king, comes and some of his guys come in, they're nice to this guy, and he's mean to him. And so to make a long story short, to get to the point, David says, fine, we're going to wipe this guy out. And Abigail goes down and meets David and says, look, basically she says, look, my husband, he made a mistake. Look, I want to honor you. And so Abigail fixes it. Well, then she goes and tells her husband, by the way, the guy you insulted is King David. And like, he's going to wipe you out. And so he gets like, oh, he has this heart attack or whatever, stroke. He dies. And so David, seeing a good thing, says, I want to marry this woman. And because, man, she had a lot of courage. She was a leader. And so he sends a servant to go and say, go tell us what, I mean, I don't know, it worked that way back then. You know, you just sent somebody, oh, by the way, go tell so-and-so I want to marry her, and that's what we'll cut the deal that way. I don't know how romantic it was, but, you know, it worked for them. And so this is the conversation we're in. This guy walks up to her and says, look, David wants you to be his wife. And you've got to get the essence of this. It's in the Hebrew language, we don't, it says it in a way that we don't catch in English. And we want to be quick to say that she did not hesitate. That's what this is saying. She bows her down, face to the ground. But when she says, I'm your servant, it's not really saying it the best way. Because really what it says, I get an opportunity to serve, I'm in. There's no hesitation. They're trying to say she quickly, in fact, the next verse says she quickly gets on her donkey and goes. She is ready to serve. She says, here I am. I will serve in this capacity. I'm in. Abigail knew this, and leaders, and again, I want to be quick. Leaders like Abigail, they have to know who they are. In fact, one translation says, I'm your maidservant. Abigail knew exactly who she was. I'm your servant. As I read this passage, I think of a lady named Peggy. Peggy had 3 kids. Her husband was an alcoholic. She didn't know anything about Jesus. And Peggy meets the Lord. she meets Jesus. I mean, she, Jesus gets into her life. I mean, she's changed. She is radically changed. Jesus changes everything. I mean, she never knew. She fell so in love with Jesus. With all the pain in her life, it didn't matter. Jesus was all she wanted. And when this church came to her after, I don't know how long she'd lived for Jesus, not very long, when the church said, by the way, you love Jesus so much, can you work with the kids? And she said, yes, I'm in. Immediately. She knew who she was. I can't really sing. I couldn't preach a sermon, but maybe I could work with children. And so, yeah, I'm in. Because she so wanted to serve. And that's how Abigail was. She was so ready because she knew who she was. She just, look, I'm a servant. I'll do whatever I can do. But here I am. She's available. Secondly, we look at this passage. I'm your servant, and I'm ready to serve. Leaders not only know who they are, leaders know to be prepared. Someone said to me one time when I was about 47 years old, they said, I was teaching at a school here in the Netherlands, and a student said to me, I'd spoken in chapel or something, and a student said to me, how long did it take you to prepare that sermon? I said, 47 years. If you ask me today, how long did it take to prepare this? 51 years I've worked on this message. 51 years. Because ministry and serving the Lord is about giving everything you have. All, even the bad stuff, all the days of your life, here I am. In preparation and serving, and leaders know how to prepare. Peggy didn't know anything really about working with kids. And a great story, she was teaching little kids, and it was back many years ago, back in the day, when you would order the material for the Bible club, and they would send you the papers, and it was before, you know, we had photocopy machines and that stuff. And so you'd have this little stacks of papers, 10 papers for the kids, and there would be a little picture to color. And they would, and one day she got them in the mail, she had them, she was going to give them to the kids, and she looked down, there was the picture to color, and it said to punch out the picture, that the kids were supposed to take their little dots around the picture, that you tear it out. You know what I'm talking about. And the printers had made a mistake. They had forgotten to put the little dot, to make it perforated, to put the edges there. You could have cut them out, but the thing said punch it out. And so Peggy took every one of those sheets of paper and with a needle meticulously made little holes. Now you might say that's kind of silly. But don't look at what she's doing. Look at the heart behind what she's doing. And you see the heart of a real servant, don't you? You see a person who would sit for a small child on that day when the kids colored the picture and they cut it out. The kids didn't. Nobody honored her for that. The kids probably didn't even say thank you. There was no great applause. There was no plaque. There was no, oh, let's do this. No, there was nothing. But there was this heartbeat for a servant. And Abigail says, I am ready to do what I can. I am ready. I have prepared myself to the best of my ability. That's why we need to study and show ourselves approved, as the Scripture says. We need to be people that are in the Word, that we need to do our best at what we can do. But we're ready. And Abigail says, I'm not only am I here as quickly as possible, not only am I know who I am, not only am I prepared, but finally she says, to wash the feet of my Lord's servants. Leaders not only know who they are and they not only know to be prepared, they know what their passion is. She says a great thing here. Oh, if she could wash David's feet, that would be great, if I could wash his feet. But she doesn't say that. She says, I'll even wash David's servants' feet. I'll wash their feet. Years ago, I heard a story about a missionary who went to Africa. And this was many years ago, and it changed my whole way of looking at ministry. This guy's name was Paris Reedhead. And Paris tells a story of going to Africa back in the 50s. And when he went to Africa, he did the thing. And one day he went into his bedroom, slammed the door, which none of you would ever slam the door of your house, slammed the door of the bedroom, threw himself on his bed, and said, God, I was lied to. Disappointed with ministry, disappointed with it all. He said, God, I was told that if I would come to Africa, that if these people could just hear the name of Jesus, that they'd all come running to you. He said, God, I was lied to. These people are sinners. These people don't want anything to do with you. These people love sin. They love evil. They want to stay in evil. They don't want to come. They don't want to find redemption. They don't want to come to Christ. They don't want anything to do with you, Jesus. I gave up everything to come and tell these people about Jesus. I gave up everything to serve you. And these people want nothing to do with you. And Jesus, I'm mad. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I didn't send you to Africa for them. I sent you to Africa for me. And if we can see that serving in a church, serving the Lord, isn't about playing a guitar. It's not about preaching a sermon. It's not about helping a children in the work or going out into the streets and telling people about Jesus. It's about serving the Lord who saved every one of us. It's about saying, Jesus, I play the guitar for you. I preach the sermon for you. I work the nursery for you. That whatever I'm doing it as unto you. Jesus, I'm doing this for you. Friends, it will change everything. It changes everything. It puts the passion. And Abigail had this passion. I'll wash the feet of David's servants because her passion was for David. I'll do it. And if what we're passionate about is Christ, we can serve him in whatever capacity he calls us to. He empowers us to do it. He puts us in that moment because it's not about what we do. It's about who we're doing it for. And we don't do it for people. We don't even do it for the city of Maastricht. We do it for Jesus. We do it all for him and for his glory. And the last point I want to make, and I'm done. The Bible says that if you're faithful in little, he'll bless you with much. And I've known Kent and Leslie for many years. And can I tell you, these good people have been faithful with little. And God has blessed them with much. And I don't know Matt and Christine as well. But as you've been faithful with little, he's going to bless you with much. Peggy began teaching about 5 years into it. She started teaching adult Sunday school class. And she taught adult Sunday school for 35 years. And one day she was sitting in church because she was part of a group of 12,000 churches in America. And one day, in the middle of a service, the pastor said, we're going to invite so-and-so. And this stranger came into the room. And the stranger stood up and said, we have an award we want to give to Peggy. For 35 years of teaching Sunday school, teaching adults. And they gave her this Teacher of the Year award for the whole nation. She was shocked. She couldn't believe, what? I mean, I taught little kids for about 5 years and 35 years adult. I mean, what? She'd never had any Bible training. She was just a servant. I'm just here to serve. And they gave her this award. And you're probably saying, Tim, how do you know all that? Well, Peggy's my mother. And I was like you. Like, Mom, really? I mean, she's my mom. Teacher of the Year? What? Mom? She probably feels that way about me often. You know, missionary, what? And they interviewed her, and they asked her, Peggy, tell us what you do during the week to prepare to teach a one-hour Bible class. She said, well, Sunday afternoon. Now, she's taught it Sunday morning. For the next week, Sunday afternoon, I read through the material. Monday, I read through it again and I start studying it. Tuesday, I really get the commentaries out and I look at all the concordance. I'm looking up all the words. I'm really getting into it. And then Wednesday, I hit it again really hard. And I bring prayer and I might fast over it and say, Jesus, what is it? And she said, on Wednesday, I do it on Wednesday because then Wednesday night I can go to my pastor and say, Pastor, I don't understand this, I don't understand this. And so she gets answers. Thursday, she said, I hit it again. And then Friday, she says she takes the day off and lets it settle. And then Saturday, she hits it again. And then Sunday, she gets up at 5 in the morning. And she starts seeking God. You've got to speak to this class today. You've got to do this, Jesus, because I'm going to give your word to these people. Lord, help me. And she's done this every week for 35 years. And I thought, Mom, you do deserve the Teacher of the Year award. Yeah. Do you think she did that for those people? She got the Abigail principle. Do it for the Lord. She was doing it for Jesus. And if he blesses you, if you're faithful a little, He'll give you much, and Abigail understood that. I believe that we're in exciting times here at Damascus Road. Amen. It's an exciting day. I know I don't look like it, but I used to be a runner. Okay, the good news is nobody said amen to that, okay? And I used to be in a relay, and this morning during the prayer time, I was reminded of that. And when you're running in a relay, you have a baton in your hand. And when you're running, you work with the other guy. You get your timing down because there's just an area on the track that between the white lines, you've got to hand the baton off. And the problem is you're running and you're tired, but the second guy, he's fresh and ready to go. And so he can run off and leave you. And so he's got to slow down. You can trip over each. You've got to work at the baton. And I believe that Kent and Leslie and Matt and Christine have been faithful in working on this handing over. They got their timing down. They've worked at it. And today we're going to witness that. And that is something to celebrate. But friends, know this. It's not just about that one block. It's a long race, isn't it? It's a long race. And if Jesus tarries, it could be hundreds and hundreds of years. And as I said, a day will come, none of us will be but Jesus will still get glory here. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, now as we go into this special time, we just invite your Holy Spirit to speak to us. We pray special blessing on everything that's said and done. And God, get glory even during this, in Jesus' name. Amen.